Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We still can't figure out how to get into our Instagram, so we're not talking about it right now. But either way, we are almost a full week into the first we're almost into the first week of the new season, and we've seen a little bit of everything from the Lightning so far, and we're going to get into that. Dory is joining us on the phone today because she has to be a mom and do parent things, and so we're using technology, thank goodness. And so she's joining us today via phone, and later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Nick Elberga. So yeah, it's a great show on tap for you. Let's get into the first couple games. So the Lightning have been busy since they dropped the puck Thursday night, and we were both at home opener, which was amazing. The player introductions, let's just talk about that. I mean, they've really upped the ante, haven't they?
Yeah, the Lightning, the one thing I think the Lightning do better than any other professional sport is they set the bar and then they keep setting it higher. So it's almost like when other franchises, not only in hockey, but we've seen it in NBA, when they start kind of like, oh, okay, that's how the Lightning are doing it. That's why they're such a class A organization. Then the Lightning are like, you know what? We can even take it a little further. It's amazing what they can do. It really is. And I mean, I think the Lightning Vision crew, headed by John Franzone, who I know, CT, you've worked with in the past.
Yes.
They're brilliant. They're brilliant.
Yep. And we got to see the Blue crew as well. And it just went off very seamlessly. So it was fun. I'm a little upset because of where I sit, and it's where the players come out of the tunnel. And I was kind of hoping that they were going to do that because then I got a great vantage point. But they really did a nice job with coming out from, I guess, one of the where the Lexus Lounge is. And they came out and met at Center Ice, and they had all this like cool stuff. And it was, and then everybody got these really cool light up wristbands, which were controlled by some motherboard somewhere where they would light up. And it wasn't just during the pregame. It was like during the entire game when chants would start, the lights, the your wrists would light up. And so really, really cool. That was really fun.
And I know that some of our media friends, like Amanda Stein and those, I'm sure that they would appreciate the wristbands a little bit more than the very loud noisemakers.
Oh, yeah. Dear Tampa Bay Lightning, I know it helps with a playoff environment and so on and so forth, but maybe hand out those and earplugs at the same time?
Yeah, I love that they give things out anyway to begin with. I think that's really awesome. But when you're sitting in the press box, which is way, 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 way up there, like we're in the catwalk, basically, the sound in the Amalie Arena, it just is so amplified at the top that it's like, I can't hear anything. So I love the riff. I love the light up stuff.
Yeah, that's super fun. Super, super. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm at a Taylor Swift concert. This is fancy. all right. So let's talk about the play on the ice. I was quite happy, and it was really nice to see some of the new guys to the team get on the scoreboard.
Yes. Before we even get to Shattenkirk, who I'm very quickly impressed with, we talked about it in our season six opener that we expected that Shattenkirk was not going to have the season he had last year in New York. We knew it was almost like a fluke type of season for him because, you know, this guy's an all-star, a former all-star, I guess, or I don't even like saying that. Let's say he has been in two all-star games and weekends in the previously. But I love the energy that he brings and getting on the scoreboard. He's already has two goals already through the first three games, which is tied for as many games as he had, 72 last season for the Rangers. So immediately, and I guarantee you this isn't it. It's not like, oh, I scored two, I'm good. That's what I did last year. I think, and you know, we're going to get Nick's thoughts on this later, but I really think that this could be a huge, like, reawakening, mm-hmm. for him, and I'm really excited. The other player that I'm very, very impressed with that I personally said I was really looking forward to seeing, one was Tyler Joseph, and I'm Tyler Joseph. Oh, goodness. Who has 21 pilots on the brain?
Matthew Joseph.
Yes, Matthew Joseph. I'm really impressed with what he's done, but I'm very, very pleased with how Mikhail Sergachev.
Oh, yeah, he got one of the stars of the game. Yeah.
Yes, and very, very well deserved. He's coming into that period in his career where everything is supposed to now come together.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen him in previous years, like, wow, at 18, he was making a name for himself early on. But now I think we've seen him completely settle in. I know it's only 3 games. We have 79 left to go. But it feels like he's really, really fluid out there now. And he knows where to be. Not that he was making a ton of mistakes before. But I feel like his poise is really grew since April.
No, I agree. He just looks so comfortable out there.
And,
you know, Alex Killorn was another one who impressed me on Thursday night. Just kind of, and actually the whole team seemed a little bit more aggressive on the puck than normal.
On the opener, for sure.
Yes, yeah. On the opener. That's what we're talking about, opening night. I don't know if it was adrenaline or the excitement of it finally being opening night, but I was super impressed by their not aggressiveness, but just, you know, I don't know what this, it's not aggressive. It's just maybe more, not confidence, because they, you know, they've been confident for a couple of years. I'm not sure how to put it. Dory, are you understanding what I'm trying to say?
I think what you are, maybe a little more consistency on the attack.
Yes.
They seem to be very steady with the pressure that they were keeping on Florida.
Yes.
Who I have to tell you, seeing them in preseason, then opening night, then going down to Sunrise, I'm actually really impressed by that team.
They're going to be scary this year. I think they're going to be very tough for us.
I think they are, and I'm okay with that. I really am. The NHL would love to have a Florida rivalry, and if they keep playing the way they're playing, I think, obviously, listen, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Would they be, you know, showing the signs that they're showing now if it weren't for Joel Quenneville behind the bench? Probably not. He has a lot to do with it. I know that the Panthers media have talked about immediately coming in and changing everything. These players are practicing hard and giving 100%, and that's what he demands. Smart play, 100% all time. And I think it's starting to pay off. All the hard work. Of course, he's a coaching genius.
Right.
Number 2 all time in wins, future Hall of Famer. We can go on and on and on. You know, John Cooper is a huge fan. He was his, you know, a mentor of sorts to John Cooper. There are a lot of similarities. So I really, really like that the Panthers are definitely stepped up their game. Can they hold, you know, we've seen it, though. We've seen it in the past where they've started out really good and on fire and it kind of dwindles down. I don't know if Coach Q will let that happen. But if so far, I'm pretty excited. We're not going to see Florida for a while now, I believe, looking at the schedule, which is fine, because it feels like every time you turn around, it's like, oh, hi, it's Florida again.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy that Bobrovsky has, you know, a new home.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's they're going to be, I think they're going to be tough. I think they're going to be a contender.
Yeah.
I was mistaken. Killorn was not a star of the game, but he just impressed me. The 3 stars of home opener were Andre Palat with 1 goal, 5 shots and 4 hits, which is really nice to see him.
Love it.
Back in the play. Like, I mean, he's never not been, but I know he struggled with injuries last season. And so it's really nice to see him kind of start a new season and be right up there. Andre Vasilevsky, the 2nd star of the game with 35 of 37 saves. Wow. He really kind of the shots on goal, and we're going to talk about this later on, but he not necessarily kept us in it, because I never thought that we were struggling, but you look at some of those saves and, you know, again, Vezina trophy winner right there. And Mikhail Sergachev with 3 assists, 1 hit and 1 block. So those were the stars of the game for game 1 at home versus Florida. And I was, you know, because sometimes the home opener can be you can win it, and sometimes you can lose it terribly because of all the adrenaline and all the pomp and circumstance and all, you know, all that fun stuff. But they really came out, were focused, and pulled out the win. So that meant everybody got a Chick-fil-A sandwich or a Chick-fil-A entree, because I don't know if you know this, but, like, this is, like, huge. People went nuts for this last season. And I thought I'd just mention it, that it is back. So if the Lightning win at home, you also win. You get a offer from the participating Chick-fil-A's in the area. If you follow the Tampa Bay Lightning on Twitter, they'll tweet it out. They tweeted it out on the night of the home opener with, like, tips. Like, you have to make sure you have your location services on and all that on the app, on the Chick-fil-A app. But it's a pretty good deal. And last year, you know, with all the wins that they had, you know, that's why I had to hit the gym this summer, because I put on 15 pounds from all the free Chick-fil-A. So they got that. There's also a Wendy's, like, double stack when the Lightning score 4 goals or force a shutout. I'm not sure if that's just at home or away, but that's on the Lightning Twitter. So they're trying to bulk us up for the winter, it almost seems like. But yeah, so the Lightning pull out that home opener win 5-2 against the Florida Panthers. All right, so then they get a night off, but they're back in Sunrise on Saturday and didn't go their way.
No, it didn't. And I almost I don't want to say I expected it. I think that you and I, CT, over the years have done a really good job of being realistic about things.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reality of that is when you see a team as much as the Lightning sees the Panthers in the last couple weeks, it's gonna, you know, I'm not shocked that they lost in Sunrise. Let me put it that way. Even though that they set the record for, you know, road wins last year at 30, I kind of was, after Thursday night, thinking, you know, I saw towards later in the third period that it seemed to look like, to me, that Florida was starting a little bit to kind of figure things out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So losing, and, you know, they didn't get, you know, their butts handed to them or anything. But I'm not too shocked about it. Seeing a team as much as they see them, they're very, very familiar. They're two coaches that are very familiar with their coaching styles and just their familiarity with, you know, the psychology behind the bench and everything. So I wasn't concerned about it. I wasn't shocked by it. And that's why I think, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to the Panthers becoming a real true rivalry. Because if we can get, you know, the Panthers on the schedule, look ahead and go, hey, we don't know how this one will go, but it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking. That's what I want to see. And I think that we're starting to maybe see that now.
Yeah. The boys got into a little bit of penalty trouble. But the final score is 4-3 Panthers in Sunrise. Anything else you want to add to that discussion before we go to break?
Not really. Just, you know,
it's
early. The first two games. Yeah, it's really early. Those first two games, I think, shouldn't be too shocked considering how well the Lightning do
uh-huh.
In their season openers. And again, not shocked, not terribly disappointed. It was a close game. It was a hard fought game. And I loved seeing the Saturday night game two.
So and before we go to break, I just want to mention it was a really nice tribute to Anton Strahlman at the home opener, thanking him for his contributions to the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, obviously he did the, you know, cordial thing and waved and everything, but it was a very long standing ovation, and I probably would have stood a lot longer if the puck hadn't had to drop. But it was really heartwarming, and it was great to see. And Anton, we wish you the best in Florida, and we're going to beat you, though. So that's one of the things I love about this sport is that they always, you know, do that kind of thing. And it's just really special. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more game misconduct. We're going to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes game and more when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory on the phone.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, and we're also on Facebook, and we still can't get into our Instagram account, so we got to get on that. But we're those two other places for right now. All right, so we talked about the home opener and then the, you know, home and home, a what, you know, kind of series with the Panthers, which I feel like, okay, I don't need to see them for another 4 or 5 months. We're good.
Yeah.
But then they had back-to-back after the game in Florida on Saturday. They played in Carolina on Sunday at 5 o'clock, and nothing like getting, you know, started quickly in the beginning of the season. Oh, man. I'm tired for them.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. I mean, they have got like 15 more of these back-to-backs to do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, of course, they're on this really crazy road trip that's 6 games. I think they have 2 6-game road trips this year, if I'm not mistaken. You know, CT, we don't get into the schedule too often. Maybe once in a while we talk about it because they have no control over that. And we have no control over that. We can just, you know, cheer them on and kind of talk about it after, you know, on our, you know, Lightning Power Play, you know, show that we've been doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you, I was very, we know that McElhinney is a very good goalie.
Mm-hmm.
He took Carolina all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. So this is not, you know, some guy that, you know, just showed up off the street or something. I mean, this is a good, you know, goalie and one of the better signings that they did, in the off season. We didn't get too much into him last year. And the reason, or last week, I should say, and the reason why is because we have Andrei Vasilevskiy. So it's always never going to be a fight. I don't believe, you know, for anybody to take over the cat spot. He's number one.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, 40 saves. And it was tremendous. It was a tremendous performance by McElhinney. Being back in Carolina, definitely emotions going for him, just like Strawman, you know, back at Amalie Arena.
Mm-hmm.
But he let 4 go in. Obviously, one was, you know, the game winner in overtime. But absolutely hats off to him because 40 shots in your debut is not easy.
Yeah. No, yeah, and sorry, I think I misspoke in the last segment talking about the Lightning Panthers game. Oh wait, no, maybe not. I'm getting all confused with these scores here. But
the scores, yeah, well,
but
yeah,
I might have misspoke.
4-3, it happened.
Okay, but the final score for the Carolina Lightning game was 4-3 in overtime. So you know, they lost, they win one, they lose one, they get a point in an overtime game. But yeah, facing 40 shots in the third game of the season, I'm a little concerned about the shots on goal for the other team and the lack of shots on goal maybe for us, which is different. Like, I mean, we talked about it a couple times last season, but it wasn't like this early. Like, I feel I'm not really sure. Maybe, you know, they're being covered better or whatever, and they're not able to get the shots off as quickly. What are you seeing, Dory?
The thing that I'm noticing, especially in Carolina, you know, we have these games every once in a while, once or twice a season, that are absolutely mind-boggling, where you're like, where did this team come from? And to me, that Carolina game was who is this team, and what have you done to our Lightning?
Mm-hmm.
The shots were non-existent. They had 11 shots in the opening period. They were up 3-1. Oh, great. Here we go. And then it all went downhill. 0 shots in the second period is absolutely unacceptable. If you are one of the elite teams in the NHL, and the Lightning are an elite team, absolutely unacceptable. And then to only have 2 shots in the third period, it was very upsetting to watch. It was very disappointing. It was frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
The passing was everywhere. They just could not get their sticks on those pass pucks. that was very concerning to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the lack of penalty kill. Again, this was a team that we really saw turn around last season, their special teams.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolina was just breakdown after breakdown everywhere you looked at it, except goaltending.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to remember this third game of the season. These guys keep themselves in really good shape on the off season, but third game of the season, a lot of travel already, and a back to back. So, you know, I can't get upset.
No. You know? And listen, would we rather have these games now? Or do we want to have this game in February or March? We want to have these games now, get them out of the way. Is it a learning experience? Oh, yeah, because nobody likes losing less than John Cooper.
Right.
So I definitely think that we're going to see a much more rejuvenated, crisper, cleaner team when they get back out there, because everywhere you looked at it except, you know, between the pipes was a very disappointing game.
Yeah, and the good news is these guys have a couple days to rest, finally. they don't play until Thursday in Toronto and then Saturday in Ottawa, which is not horrible travel. And then they get two more days off before they go to Montreal and Boston. And then finally home against Colorado on the 19th. And then they're home for like a week or so. So, you know, a lot of travel, a lot of games in a shortened amount of time for them, you know, that first opening weekend. But like you said, would you rather have these games now or later? And I agree with you, now is better. And like you said, a learning experience. And for these, not new guys, the veteran guys who have joined our team, you know, you know, them to get in a rhythm, the new guys who have come up, including Jamel Smith, Mr. Smith, sorry about last week, but now we know how to say your first name. You know, I've been impressed with these guys a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, Verhaeghe as well. So there are not a lot of negatives to point out right now because, again, it's a brand new season. We haven't seen enough to really start to judge, you know, before we can come really judgy and have facts. But
Exactly. I was gonna say that if the Ontario games kind of look the same as Carolina, okay, we might have something to really talk about here. But right now, let's just get it out of the system. Go up to Toronto. They're a good team. And you know, Ottawa, you know, they try hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, let's hope they get it together. And with the rest, like you said, and we see a different team in Toronto.
Yeah. And I was happy to see McElhinney get a start this early in the season. I get it. It was a back-to-back in his old team, but you know, sometimes they just want that goaltender to get into a rhythm, the starting goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see McElhinney, and there wasn't a lot that I was upset with. So, you know, as we get to know him and get to see what he can do between the pipes, it'll be good. So anything else that you want to add before we let you go and jump in with our guest, Nick Elberga?
Nope, sure don't, but I'm looking forward to getting back in the studio with you.
Yes, next week. I can't wait to see you, and go be a good mom, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so I'm joined by our guest this week, Nick Elberga. I knew I was going to screw this up, and now I'm blanking. You're our friend, first of all. And so you've got some new things going on. So, you know, NHL analyst, kind of fantasy guru for Sportsnet. You're kind of a like a Swiss Army knife. You kind of do it all.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably the best way to describe certainly where I'm at in my career and certainly in general where media is going. And again, thank you so much for having me. And for the most part right now, I'm doing my thing with Rogers Sportsnet here in Canada, covering the National Hockey League as a radio host. I've been doing some stuff covering the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. And of course, I'm big into fantasy hockey, as Lightning fans know. So that continues on sportsnet.ca.
All right. So let's just kind of get the fantasy stuff out of the way because I know nothing about fantasy hockey. So maybe three things you would tell somebody who is all into fantasy hockey about the league this year, like maybe three tips or three players to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so certainly I think when starting your fantasy team this time around, I think a lot has changed in the last 15 to 20 years since I started playing fantasy hockey. I think what we're starting to see is way more offense. Uh, it, it is quite visible in the first month of most seasons where goaltenders are a lot of rusty, or are way more rusty than we've seen in the past. And we've seen some struggles this year so far, some high-scoring games. I think certainly when you look at fantasy rankings, it's either going to be Connor McDavid number one or Nikita Kucherov of your Lightning number one. It depends on how you're feeling. You can't go wrong with either selection. I think in my parts here in Toronto, there's a variety of guys that you can look at. You know, a Mitch Marner, an Austin Matthews, a John Tavares. Ideally, you're looking for guys, players who are going to put up the most points and extract the most value for you in your respective leagues. And certainly, I think, you know, another thing I would preach is taking advantage of the schedule. And with that, I mean, that's more so in weekly leagues. Having a team with a lot of man games and a lot of guys playing, I think extracts the most value possible and the most potential for output. Because for those of you who are not familiar with fantasy hockey, there are a variety of categories that you can have in your specific league. You know, goals, assists, points, power play points. You could even have shorthanded goals if you'd like. Goaltending stats include wins, a save percentage, goals against. So you want your team to be as well-rounded as possible. And certainly, you know, there's a variety of tips. I would encourage you all to check out my work on sportsnet.ca on a weekly basis. I'll have three different articles just talking about the latest going on in the fantasy world. So I hope I described it the best I could there.
You did. I still have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds a lot like when you're building a team, you don't want to have all snipers and then, you know, a decent goaltender. You need to kind of spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great analogy right there, certainly. And I think, you know, in some respects, it's the same, and it's also a bit different, certainly, because you have the luxury of going through all 31 teams as opposed to one team. But I think you're right with that analogy for sure.
Cool. I did good. Okay. So let's talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've all moved on from what happened last season. You know, I've gone to therapy. You know, we've all talked about it. So let's talk about the players specifically. And you mentioned him already, Kucherov. I mean, how can you not mention him already? Do you think that he could possibly repeat or come close to his 2018-19 season? Or do you think other teams at the end of the season had kind of figured him out and, you know, now moving on through this season may be able to shut him down a little bit more?
Well, first and foremost, I'll say it was sort of an eye-opening loss to the Carolina Hurricanes back on Sunday. Steven Stamkos, the captain, had some choice words, and I like that about the player. I like the fact that he was not happy with the performance of his team, came out and said it. You know, they were dominated. Well, they have 13 shots on goal, although ultimately they lost in overtime, as we know, but certainly a lot to work on for this Tampa team. It's sort of intriguing, too, when you look at Tampa in general. Again, everything you just mentioned, how dominating they were truly in the regular season last year. And then, you know, hate to bring it up, but what happened in the playoffs against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And people start to wonder if maybe the best idea is for this team to pace themselves. And we'll see if that turns out. I think it's easier said than done in a sporting landscape to say, hey, you know what? Cool the jets a tad and get hot at the right time.
Yeah.
But to talk about Kucherov, obviously one of the more prolific names in hockey, outstanding last year, Hart Trophy winner. I think his exposure to Steven Stamkos and playing on that line, don't forget Braden Point still out, signs that extension or the bridge deal a couple weeks back, but still hurt till, I believe, the end of October, early November. They get him back into the fold. This is still one of the best teams in hockey. I just think ultimately they have to find their game, their peak game at the right time. And I'm not one for excuses. I thought, you know, the large sample size last year was pretty indicative of what this team is. They're an amazing hockey team. But come the springtime, as we saw with the St. Louis Blues, were, you know, basically reading their obituary in December and January. And next thing you know, they win the Stanley Cup. So certainly, I think for those 2.5 months, you have to put it together. But I think Kucherov's going to continue to be one of the biggest stars in the NHL. He's just way too talented, way too fast, and his IQ level is just off the charts. So certainly there is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to this Lightning roster.
And speaking of, we added another player who seems to really be showing up and showing off, Shattenkirk. When we signed him in the offseason, he's already making a quick impact, scoring 2 goals in 3 games. He's actually tied the number of goals he had for all of last season with the Rangers. Do you think maybe like some fresh blood injection into him? And do you think we're going to kind of see an awakening of sorts? Or maybe it's just a different role he's playing on this team?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Kevin Shattenkirk's such an intriguing name, just more so the resume, what he's done in his career. We all knew it at the time when he signed. I believe it was a 3-year deal with the New York Rangers, and it was a bit too much money for the liking of most people, clearly not the New York Rangers, who have a track record, a history of overpaying players. It's something against Shattenkirk. He took the money. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
And certainly what we're seeing now, he was bought out in the offseason, signs with the team. I'm sure he felt he had the best opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. And when push comes to shove, I know money's big in a career, but also the rings are important. And I think Shattenkirk saw a scenario and looked at, you know, the positioning in Tampa and said, hey, this would be great if I had a chance to play with Victor Hedman on a daily basis. Ryan McDonough, I know Eric Chernak's a guy who had a really, really strong rookie season. Braden Coburn, I think, has had a really decent start. And then the youngster Mikhail Sergachev, like, their back end is very, very strong. And I think the biggest difference from Shattenkirk in New York to Tampa is just the insulation. Again, Victor Hedman's one of the best defensemen in the NHL, and right now they have Shattenkirk, who is prone to you know, make offensive decisions, we'll say, more times than not, as opposed to Hedman. Again, one of the most well-rounded defensemen in all of hockey. I would argue maybe the best defenseman in hockey right now. And that always helps compensate for the deficiencies, I would say, that Shattenkirk has in his game. And at $1.75 million, what they brought him in for, I mean, it's absolute value for sure. Like, I knew his numbers were going to be much better in Tampa. The New York Rangers were a team that really struggled last year. They're in a rebuild. He really was not in their plans, considering what they had done in the offseason. So you bring in Shattenkirk to Tampa, and just the exposure to all this tremendous talent alone, I think is going to get Shattenkirk way more back into relevancy in terms of point production. Because earlier in his career, he was a really, really strong point-producing defenseman. And I think what you will see on this Tampa team is Shattenkirk do a lot of damage on the power play. So I think his output clearly is going to take off a bit more than it did in New York, because he is very, very insulated in Tampa now.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and come back with Nick Elberga on more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We are back with Game Misconduct and our esteemed guest, Nick Elberga. It's like our yearly tradition. We have to have you on at the very beginning of the season. One, because I learned so much from you, and two, because you're a friend of the show. So you kind of get that first slot of the season, and we really appreciate you joining us all the way. Are you in Toronto right now?
I am close enough to Toronto, yes. And I like how you said esteemed guest.
Esteemed.
I like
well,
that.
After a couple seasons, you become esteemed, not just a friend of the show, esteemed. All right. So
it's very bougie. I like it.
Yeah, we try. We try to freshen up the place, you know, make it fancy and everything if we can. All right. So we kind of talked about Kucherov. We talked about Shattenkirk. So who on this team are you most looking forward to see this season, or during the offseason, if you saw a signing and you were like, oh, that's interesting?
Well, I'll go outside the box. Certainly, I think we know what we're going to get here from Stamkos, Kucherov, Braden Point when he returns. I think Yanni Gourde is prone to have a bounce-back season in terms of his production we saw a couple years back. I think he returns more to relevancy that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they would like to see in Tampa in terms of offensively speaking is kids like Matthew Joseph and Anthony Cirelli. And it really, at this point in time, is a makeshift fourth line. You run into that, especially in the salary cap world, as you know, when you have to pay your guys like Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman. The list goes on. Vasilevskiy got paid this summer as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have cheaper options. I like the Patrick Maroon signing quite a bit. Won the Stanley Cup last year with the St. Louis Blues. And people would argue that maybe that's one of the biggest need for this Tampa team in the playoffs, because we know this team is going to go and play in the playoffs. It's just somebody rugged, somebody physical, somebody that can play that tough checking type game and not afraid to be a physical aspect in the playoffs. I think Patrick Maroon will bring that leadership as well. Luke Witkowski plays a heavy game. I mean, it's, you look at this roster and what they've done, especially with the fourth line, and you say, hey, they're probably thinking along the same lines. But certainly, to answer your question up front, I think they want a bit more, or they want trajectory. They want development with the likes of Matthew Joseph and Anthony Cirelli. And I can make that case as well for the back end. Mikhail Sergachev is in a contract season. The sky is the limit. We know they traded him for Jonathan Drouin a couple years back, Montreal and Tampa interdivision deal. And certainly I think Sergachev is going to take the next step in his career. And you add them with the likes of Hedman and Ryan McDonough, and then you have Sergachev to complement Shattenkirk, Chernak, and Coburn, I think things are looking good there. And I do think they upgraded their backup goaltending position, and that's nothing on Louis Domingue. I thought he performed admirably last year. He's a good goalie, not a great goalie. And I think what they brought in Curtis McElhinney is a veteran, understands his role, has done it time and time again. He was exceptional last year for the Carolina Hurricanes. And he'll add a bit more stability because that is a key when it comes to goaltending, is keeping Andre Vasilevsky, the reigning Vezina Trophy winner, as fresh as possible. So I like what they've done considering the cap constraints. And don't forget as well, Cedric Paquette still out of this lineup injured about a week ago or so. So things are looking good for this Tampa team. I think they just want some development in some of the younger guys.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about Patrick Maroon. I did know, you know, I did watch him in the finals, and you know, he was kind of like one of those storylines from the Stanley Cup finals because he is from St. Louis and it was a big deal. Didn't really know a lot about him, but I really like the physicality he's brought, and I think them bringing Luke Witkowski back and, you know, bringing in Patrick Maroon, I feel like that was something we were missing when we were in the postseason, was that physicality. Teams were just running at us. And I mean, we can try to make them outrun it. Like, we can try to get them on the run, but they're going to catch us eventually. And in those certain circumstances, our guys are going to get hurt. So I kind of like the upgrade of physicality that a couple of these signings have brought.
Yeah, they bring some jam, right? And and Luke Witkowski is a guy who can play both forward and defense. And certainly, I think if, you know, fingers crossed nothing happens, but health reasons or something else happens on the back end, you run the benefit of having a Witkowski, you know, move back. But certainly, I think that's an aspect they had to look at. I think anytime you dominate the way Tampa did last year, you have to find reasons what in the hell happened. I know Columbus was hot. But that first period of game one, Tampa was all over them, and then something flipped and Columbus was inspired and found their game. And, you know, it's pretty simple to break it down and analyze. But I think among the things people wonder about in this day and age, especially for most teams, is just that grit factor. Yeah. And then I think it was just complemented by the fact that St. Louis goes and win the Stanley Cup. Everything you mentioned, they had a bit of jam. So I don't mind that, you know, the value Patrick Maroon brings to this team for sure.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know fighting is, you know, we're trying to take fighting out of the game as much as possible, but I don't think last season there was anybody that was on our team, the Lightning, that when another team stepped on the ice, if they wanted to start something, they would be afraid of.
And Exactly. And, like, you know, I will preface it by saying, you know, most teams are that way. Like, this is not old-time hockey, unfortunately, anymore. I cover the Toronto Maple Leafs, as I mentioned. They're certainly a team with a lot of skill, and they'll play Tampa coming up on Thursday from Toronto. There's a lot of skill in that team, but there's really nobody who's going to back it up. Like, Jake Muzzin's a tough guy in the back end, a rugged guy, but we're seeing more of a new-age enforcer, and, you know, maybe we're not using the word properly, enforcer, this time around, but guys who will play heavy. And I think certainly when you look at Patrick Maroon and his track record and what he meant to that Blues team last year, wasn't all about the points, and I think that's what they're trying to lay across in Tampa this year.
So you kind of mentioned it. You know, we play Toronto, the Lightning play the Toronto Maple Leafs later this week, and so let's kind of talk about the conference. You know, again, it's early, but where do you see the Lightning this season as far as the conference goes, and who are their biggest threats? And, you know, kind of, you know, all the talking heads are which include us, you know, I like to say, you know, talking heads, you know, they're thinking it's very likely the Lightning can repeat the success they had last season. And what are your thoughts on that as well as the biggest threats in the conference?
Yeah, well, again, I'm very curious to see if they somehow find a way to pace themselves. Again, I think it's so difficult to use that verbiage just more so because, like, you're going to go give it your all every game and you're going to try to win every game. But I would look for Tampa to maybe rest Vasilevsky a bit more than we've seen in the past. And that's nothing against, you know, Curtis McElhinney, but I think clearly one goalie is better than the other in Tampa, and you know, McElhinney knows his role. I think when you look at this Atlantic division, I still have Tampa as the top team. I think Toronto is getting closer in the star power they have there. Frederik Andersen, their number one goalie, is exceptional. But that's a big ingredient for the Maple Leafs. They have backup issues, and it's been that way for a long, long time. Ironically enough, they had Curtis McElhinney last year to start the season. They elected to put him on waivers, and then it's just been a train wreck, that position, ever since. So Toronto better pray that their backup, or their starting goaltender, rather, stays healthy, or they're in big-time trouble. I think when you look at the Boston Bruins, certainly a team who went really, really far last year into the Stanley Cup final against the Blues, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. That top line with Marchand, Pasternak, and Patrice Bergeron, all world, one of the top lines in the NHL. You have some tremendous players in the back end as well. Charlie McAvoy, even Zdeno Chara, who's like 3,000 years old. Still
I know. I'm like, how can he even still lace up his skates? I wouldn't be able to bend over at his age.
Yeah, he's an absolute weapon. Like, he's just in the best tip-top shape, eats so healthy, and that's why he's able to play into his 40s. Tuukka Rask, a very, you know, strong netminder in this league. Like, Boston's a really, really strong team, and I do still feel like Tampa, Toronto, and Boston are the cream of the crop when it comes to the division. I think the Panthers have gotten better, as we saw this past weekend, splitting their home-and-home with the Lightning. I think the biggest thing that's been rectified there is the goalie issues. Sergei Bobrovsky comes over, as Lightning fans know, from the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I think he's one of the better upper echelon type goalies in the league, and I think adding him alone will make Florida more of a team, a force to be reckoned with, not only in this division, but in the conference. I think they'll find a way to get in the playoffs. I think a theme in this division, quite frankly, is goaltending. Carey Price in Montreal, one of the best goalies in the league as well. They're going to struggle to find their offense this season, but certainly when you have him and you have Shea Weber, I think you're going to be in a lot of games. I think Ottawa is going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They're clearly rebuilding right now.
Yeah.
Detroit the same way. And I expect Buffalo to be a better team. Ralph Kruger comes back from Europe to coach that team. I think they're looking for Jack Eichel to take that next step. He is the captain. He does make a lot of money. They got their question marks in goal. Carter Hutton, has had a good start, but it's only a couple games in. So I think Tampa's still the team to beat in the Atlantic Division. And you look at the Metro, I think teams like Washington is always going to be in the conversation. The Pittsburgh Penguins sounds like Evgeny Malkin's going to be out quite some bit time, and it's like always the same old story with him every season. Although he's one of the elite talents in this league, he does have the propensity to get hurt quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I do think the conference is there for the taking again when it comes to the Lightning.
Yeah, and kind of back to the Florida Panthers, because, you know, I think the NHL would love to have a Florida rivalry going because they always have us play like four times before the season even starts, and then we play them the first two games of the season. But, I mean, let's talk about the coaching, the Joe Quenneville being added to that coaching. I mean, do you think that's going to really kind of give him a shot on the arm and kind of, you know, compete a little more?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, my dream is for Tampa, the Lightning, of course, and the Florida Panthers to play outdoors in the Winter Classic. I know it's hot down there, but not as hot in that time, you know, like in January or February. I think it makes a lot of sense, and down the road, I think we will see it. But that is my dream scenario for a Winter Classic or an outdoor game, something along those lines.
Me when too. You look at
that, yeah, like I think when I've been to one, a couple of those, and they're amazing, amazing experiences, whether you're a fan of the team or not. And I think as we continue to grow the sport, especially in Florida, I think it would be perfect. To answer your question on the Panthers, again, I do think they're going to be better. I think Bobrovsky brings a lot to the table. And Joel Quenneville, as you mentioned, just one of the top coaches we've known in the NHL the last 15 to 20 years, Stanley Cup winner, multiple cups. Like, his resume is unbelievable. It's a different animal, clearly, in Florida. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have Kane, he doesn't have Taves, Crawford, those guys, Keith, Seabrook anymore. But everything's spearheaded by Alex Barkov, their captain, their number one center. He's an incredible player. They have a couple guys this season motivated by new contracts looming. Evgeny Dadonov on the top line. Mike Hoffman got a hat trick the other night back on the weekend. He's off to a hot start. Vincent Trocheck got hurt last year, played a handful of games. He's a really, really strong talent, their second line center, and hoping for a healthy year from him. And I think he's going to have a strong season. Jonathan Huberdeau, like they have a mm-hmm. they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. There's a lot of really good players on that team, and I think the added caveat is that you bring in Joel Quenneville, the experiences. They're hoping that he can put them over the top and get them back into the playoffs. And again, I think the biggest theme and key for most teams around this league is goaltending. Just look at the St. Louis Blues, and they rode the momentum of Jordan Binnington last year. Mm-hmm. So Sergei Bobrovsky is probably the most important piece that they've brought in. I know they paid him a lot of money, but to win in this league, you got to get sound goaltending, and they will for sure from Sergei Bobrovsky.
And to your point for that Winter Classic, you know, we'll travel if they need to put it in a colder climate. Like, we'll all travel to go to a game. We'll freeze our butts off, but we'll go.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Like, but I think the key is, like, they've shown in the past that they're able to stage these games in warmer climates. Mm-hmm. I believe this year's Winter Classic or an outdoor game, they're staging it in Dallas between the Stars and the Predators. There's been one in L.A., so it's definitely, like, possible. And I would have to say it's a foregone conclusion. In the next, say, 5 to 10 years, we're going to get an outdoor game in Florida. Like, it just makes too much sense.
Maybe we could do the Swamp where the Gators play up in Gainesville. It's North Florida. It's not that far. You know, there we go. Yeah. Let's get on the phone to the commissioner. All right, Nick, thank you so much for joining us for our yearly tradition. And please remind everybody where they can find you on social media and then where they can find your fantasy stuff as well.
Always my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me. At the Golden Muzzy is where you can find me on Twitter. I'll take this time to, shamelessly plug my new podcast that I launched in August. I can't even remember the month anymore. It's called Unmuzzled,
yes.
Aptly named, of course, with my Twitter handle at the Golden Muzzy. And it's basically wall-to-wall coverage of the NHL. It features a guest on a weekly basis. I've had the likes of the GM of the Oilers, Ken Holland, Matthew Barnaby, Marty Biron, the list goes on and on. It's a lot of fun to put together, so I encourage you all to check that out. And also find my work in terms of fantasy hockey over at sportsnet.ca. I'll have 3 articles coming out a week. And we also have a unique venture coming your way in a couple weeks from now. I really can't disclose much more than that, but we're working on something. And it's going to be seeing more of Nick Elberga on camera. I can say that. So that's coming up, and who knows what's down the line and in store with Lightning Power Play. I'll just be very vague with that too.
Well, like I said, you're like the Swiss Army knife of NHL, and you're getting ready for your close-up, so make sure you let us know what that venture is so we can talk about it and give you a little plug. And his podcast is fantastic. I listen every week, I've listened to every episode, so you've done a great job with that. So thank you so much again, and hopefully you'll have a reason to come down to Florida and catch a game.
Sounds good. Appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
All right, that's it for this week's edition of Game Misconduct. Thank you so much for joining us on Lightning Power Play. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct and on Facebook, Game Misconduct. And if you have any questions or any guests that you want to see this season, you can tweet us and let us know. Otherwise, we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.